The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
The 11 disciples set out for Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had arranged to meet them. When they saw him, they fell down before him, though some hesitated. Jesus came up and spoke to them. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all the commands I gave you. And know that I am with you always, yes, to the end of time." The Gospel of the Lord.
We're all probably quite used to the shamrock leaf. If you look at our statue of St. Patrick over there, you'll see that Patrick is holding a shamrock in his hand, but also around the base of it, apart from the serpent, are shamrock leaves. That's a reminder of the truth of the Trinity, which it's often been used as a sign and trying to understand that, but also Patrick's great devotion to binding himself to the strong name of the Trinity. Each day, each morning, surrounding himself, as it were, with the strong name of the Trinity. Of course, many people have used that image over the years to teach us about the Trinity. Preachers are often nervous on Trinity Sunday. Certainly in Cardinal Heenan's time, wherever he was, he always sent a pastoral letter on Trinity Sunday to be read, because then his clergy wouldn't be uttering heresy. But perhaps we mustn't avoid it, because it's the heart of the faith, in a way, that belief in God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it can seem like mystery. Of course it is. Because if it wasn't a mystery, if we could fully understand it, God wouldn't be God, and therefore we wouldn't be here. But it's a bit like tax systems and computer programming. The blooming thing's a mystery at the end of it. But so's the universe. When we see the vault of heaven, the immensity of the vault of heaven, the stars in their myriads, or the vastness of the ocean, or the myriad of galaxies, and when scientists tell us they've discovered even more out there, and trying, as it were, to say that, look, we're conquering even more, we know even more, I'm overwhelmed, because it's wonderful, because it doesn't diminish God in any way. I think it makes him even greater, because we enter then into the vaster mystery that God is. And with one aspect, or one response to it, is wonder. Wonder and awe at the mystery. But another part must also be declaration, proclamation, and praise. That's why our hymns and our sanctus and all those things, the hymns of praise that we shall hear in heaven, so we're told, is because we need to proclaim and to praise the great mystery that we celebrate on this day. Because the revelation of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is wonderful. It's humbling, it's inviting, it's challenging, and it's disturbing. Because it celebrates just a little bit of what we wonder in God, who is love. That's what St. John says, God is love. And we see that in the relationship of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. But also, we're dealing with that fire, that inspiration, that powerful driving urge, that light, that vision, that togetherness that is the wonder and the mystery of the Blessed Trinity. Because God isn't distant, isolated, but actually is bound in a family, warm unity. The Father, the Son, held in the unity, the Holy Spirit. So God isn't aloof, isn't unknown, isn't unsociable, because the Trinity God is the God who provides, sends the Word, and the Lover. And we had all that in our opening hymn, Thou whose almighty Word, and the Son, and the Spirit. Writing fairly much about the same time as Patrick was binding himself to the Trinity in the shamrock leaf, St. John of Damascus wrote very beautifully about images of God, and he said, think of the Father as the spring of life, and of the Son as the river flowing from that spring, and the Holy Spirit as the sea. Because the spring and the sea are all one nature. Or think of the Father as the root, the Son as the branch, the Holy Spirit as the fruit. For the substance of all three is one. Or think of the Father as the Son whose rays are beginning to come into us. But then that's the Son, not just the S-U-N, the S-O-N. Because think of the Father as the Son as the rays, and the Holy Spirit as the heat. Or the incoming tide visiting our shore, like the Word becoming flesh. And the outgoing tide returning to the ocean, see it as the drawing of the Son, as it were, back to the Father, and the Spirit coming back in love's return. Because we spent the last 3 months working and praying through Lent and Eastertide to Pentecost, letting ourselves be drawn closer to Jesus, walking together in his ways, knowing that he walks in our ways. We've come to know that he is the revelation of the unseen God. He's the firstborn of all creation, that he's the firstborn, the firstfruits of the resurrection of the dead. We've understood that Jesus, as the communicating Word of God, bringing us more and more into communion with God, which, of course, we celebrate Corpus Christi next week, the communion that we share together. And, of course, the Spirit, that Holy Spirit that we celebrated last week, won for us by Jesus Christ. And so St. John, in the way that John can be so profound, expresses that God is in us and we are in God. The Father and I are one, the Father is greater than I. It's not a conundrum, it's the fact of the mystery, which is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's why, most ancient of all mysteries, before thy throne we lie. Have mercy now, most merciful, most holy Trinity.